two best friends are filming a comedy about getting revenge on the bullies at their high school. One of them isn't joking. That is the setup for a movie called The Dirties that premiered last week at the Slamdance Film Festival. Slamdance, of course, runs alongside the Sundance Film Festival. Both of them take place in the same city, Park City, Utah. And The Dirties won the Grand Jury Award for Narrative Feature at Slamdance. This is their big award for that festival. And so we're going to talk about it. With me today to talk about it, we both watched it over the weekend, is Jordan Hoffman. He's a film critic for Film.com and Screen Crush. Jordan was out there slaving away at Sundance, just like me. And we both had a chance to watch this movie over the weekend, and we're going to talk about it. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm good. Let's first of all, I know you wanted to talk about Slamdance a little bit before we...
Sure, yeah. First of all, I'm really excited about this movie. I think it's really neat. And it's funny, you mentioned, oh, we were both out at Park City, Utah. We both saw this film. Neither of us actually saw it at Slamdance. Yeah. We saw it at home when the publicist started waving it in our face. Is that correct?
Yeah, I actually had been tracking this prior to Slamdance, prior to Sundance, and I had a ticket for the premiere, and I really wanted to get over there. But it's so hard, you know, for folks listening to this, it's really difficult to cover two film festivals at the same time. I mean, every year there are Slamdance movies that just look really cool. Slamdance kind of plays, you know, they take more risks, I think, than Sundance does with some of their content. And I really wanted to get over to this premiere on Saturday night, and I just couldn't make it over. I forget which film which Sundance film just didn't make it. So I bugged the publicist to get an online screener of it. And so that's how I watched it.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you've been covering, you know, the Park City January festivals longer than I have. Have you ever actually been to a Slamdance screening?
I have. I've been to a few Slamdance screenings. In fact, one of the most powerful movies I've ever seen in Park City, the Dear Zachary, the documentary, I saw at Slamdance. I was at that premiere, and really kind of touched me. I was one of the only critics at that premiere, and I was able to yell, you know, and scream about this movie. And I think some of my screaming helped get it recognized and helped it move along and get distribution. And it was a very important film for me at the time. And I've gone on to become friends with the director. And some of my most memorable movies and memorable moments from Park City happened at Slamdance. And it's a very – have you ever seen a movie at Slamdance?
Well, no, that's what's funny is that I've seen a lot of great movies that I've loved that have been Slamdance winners, but I've never been able to figure out how to go to Park City, Utah and cover Sundance and then also get in the Slamdance state of mind also, because there's so much to do at Sundance. I mean, one person can only see 1/5, 1/6 of the movies at Sundance to begin with. Plus, you know, you have to sleep once in a while. You have to have lunch. Yeah. I mean, it's just impossible to do everything. So I've always felt kind of bad for Slamdance. But then again, when the movies that win there do eventually come out, and I there have been some great movies that have come out of Slamdance. You mentioned Dear Zachary. Mm-hmm. Even the first year they started, I think it was The Day Trippers was their winner, which is a great film. And last year, one of the winners was a movie called Welcome to Pine Hill, which I didn't see till months later, which is actually getting distribution. Oscilloscope bought it, and it's coming out in a couple of weeks or months, I think. So I sort of said to myself, whatever wins at Slamdance this year, I'm just going to see. I know I'm not going to see it there, but, you know, I for too long I've been sort of putting it out of mind because it's just too complicated to get to while you're there. Because for people who've never been to Park City, Utah, it is a tiny town. It's like one street, and then it's a suburban area with, like, you know, there's a big old school where there's a screening room, and then there's this one art center, then there's a couple of 7-Elevens, then a bunch of ice. I mean, that's pretty much all it is up there. So, you know, it's not like it's this major metropolis. It's this strange place where for 10, 12 days, it just becomes the epicenter of the entertainment industry, and then it stops. So anyway, the point is, I said to myself, whatever wins the Slamdance Film Festival this year, I got to check out, because I loved Welcome to Pine Hill last year, and this was the one, and absolutely blew me away. I think it's a tremendous movie and a hell of a lot better than a lot of the stuff I saw at Sundance.
Yeah, you know, and it is a found footage movie to a certain degree, and Slamdance is sort of – become a nurturing ground for the found footage genre ever since, you know, Paranormal Activity first premiered at Slamdance. That's where it all began. That the found footage genre, you could say, was revived at the Slamdance Film Festival with Paranormal Activity. A lot of people don't talk about that because they just talk about Paramount picking it up and then releasing it, and it took off from there. But it started at Slamdance, and ever since Paranormal Activity, we've been seeing more and more found footage movies sort of sneak their way into Slamdance. And before the film festival began, I wrote a post about the Dirties when the trailer came out and said, will this be the scariest movie to premiere at Slamdance since Paranormal Activity? Scary for different reasons. But so let's start talking about the movie. What I read the little description off the bat, but what's the film about? It is a found footage movie, but it's a found footage movie about what?
Well, you know, what's great is that I had no idea what it was about. I just knew the title. And, you know, don't want to give too much away because there's a moment in the film when you go, oh, my God, is this going to go where I think it's going to go? And you have a pit in your stomach until the ending when you find out. But it's about these two kids, these kind of nerdy film-obsessed kids in a really, really true way. I mean, oh, man, what was the reference in the first scene in the park? They make a reference to Irreversible. Mm. I mean, that's not exactly like making a reference to Back to the Future, you know? There's a direct reference, and he goes, yeah, you know, the Club Rectum, you know, from Irreversible. Like, that's hardcore, you know? So these are hardcore film guys. Like, their bedroom has like all these weird 90s independent movie posters. Like, you know, there's like the Pulp Fiction, which makes sense. And then there's a poster of like Mad Dog and Glory, which was this weird Robert De Niro movie that came out in the 90s. And the hardcore film guys, and they take a film class in high school. And they decide they're going to make a movie about these two guys who are kind of, you know, kind of klutzy guys who get abused by the bullies, about them, you know, becoming like cops or whatever and taking down the bullies. It's not a particularly well thought out film they're making. So it's about them making it. And this one kid who's, you know, perhaps is not able to deal with being bullied as well as the other one says, oh, we're going to use real guns when we take them down. And that's when you go, oh, my God, you know, with all. Especially that this movie was probably shot before the Sandy Hook situation.
It was.
You say, oh, my God, do I have the stomach to watch these kids plan a school shooting? But the kid makes it clear, and they're very open. They even tell the kids, oh, we're planning a school shooting. And everyone's like, yeah, shut up. And their plan is, oh, we're only going to get the bad guys, you know, as if it makes it all the more better. And then it's a very unique take on bullying and this problem of guns, but it's most importantly a very sharp film, very well edited, very well written, very well acted by these two leads, one of which is the co-writer director whose name is Matt Johnson. Is that correct?
Matthew Johnson, yeah. And Owen Williams, yeah.
He's kind of the main dude, and he's outrageous. I mean, he's really good. He puts himself out there and does some embarrassing things. And it's a short film, and I watched it with my mouth open going, wow, this is some really rock solid stuff that goes to some very uncomfortable places.
Yeah, it does go to some uncomfortable places. And it I think to, I don't know how much we want to get into where the film goes, but obviously, you know, one of them starts going off in a direction of wanting to make the movie real. And wanting to actually kill the kids that are tormenting them at school, and the other friend says no, you know, starts kind of going off in another direction, and it's sort of kind of what's the outcome of that, and it's an interesting film. It I know that I spoke to Matthew Johnson last night and spoke to him a lot about the movie, and it's an interesting way that they did the found footage for this film. You know, I remember when I first spoke about it, I said the found footage aspect pulls you out of the film in some places, but then pulls you even closer to the film. You know, it humanizes these characters on a level that we've never seen before in this sort of film about, you know, potential school shootings. We've never seen characters like this before. And I'm curious to get your take on found footage itself, in particular with this movie. I feel like a lot of people, when they see a found footage movie, they get too wrapped up in the specifics of the way the found footage is. Yeah. You know, like in this movie, I'll just say that, you know, one of their friends, and I think they mention him once by name, is shooting these kids, and he's shooting the movie that they're making. But then once they stop making the movie, and once it starts becoming more real, and Matt begins planning an actual attack on these kids in his school, this guy is still shooting, who we believe is a friend of his, and he's not getting involved. He's not saying anything. He's just sort of acting as that fly on the wall. And so how much is something like that supposed to bother?
It's very funny you say that, because on paper, I'm sick to death of found footage, and I'm like, oh, give me a break. But when a good one comes along, you know, I just don't care. When a good one comes along, I buy it. And when there's something that I don't particularly like, and there was a movie that didn't resonate for me, but a lot of people liked, which was End of Watch. For whatever reason, I didn't like End of Watch. So during that movie, that one drove me crazy, because I was thinking, where's the camera now? The camera's here. The camera's there. One, because I was engaged, I just didn't care. And you're right. There is ostensibly two cameras on during much of the time. So they make a reference like, hey, buddy, like as the guy with the cameraman, to sort of make it make sense. But there are parts of the movie where they cut to another camera. So you're just supposed to think, oh, well, they got their other friend to help out this day. And then there are times when they stash cameras throughout the school, so they cut to that. So, you know, it makes sense. But I'll tell you what, I really didn't care, because I was so engaged with the way this movie was cut together and, you know, just the dynamism on the screen, because it really is very electric. I mean, the performances are really good, and it's cut together very quickly, that I just said, all right, they did their due diligence. You know, they nodded to their friend. Probably doesn't make sense. The friend would have left by now, but or the friend would have said, hey, buddy, you know, what the hell's going
on? Why do you have blueprints of the school on your basement wall, dude?
Right. The friend would have said something, but who knows? I mean, you could explain it anyway. Whereas, you know, when you're watching Rec 7, you know, there are times when you go, oh, give me a break. You know, they put the damn camera down, or Cloverfield or whatever. You know, you're climbing up the side of a building, put the camera down and use your other hand. You know, you do that. But for this, it didn't bother me. And listen, found footage is not going away, because, you know, when it works, it works. And, you know, with the cameras so small now, I mean, you can do real things with small cameras. The movie looks good. It's just, you know, here's the thing. When you use found footage poorly, yes, you must be taken to task, and we critics must shun you. But when you do it well, when there's a reason for it, it's as viable as anything else at this point. It is a genre. And what's cool is that it's breaking out from just horror. I mean, this, if you wanted to classify this as horror, you could, but it really is a drama. And it's very funny, too. Also, there's a lot of comedy in there. But more than anything else, it's a drama, so...
Yeah, you know, it's they took an interesting approach with this too, and while I was watching the movie, I was wondering, because there are scenes where you almost feel like the people they're acting opposite don't even know that they're acting in a movie, and I asked him about that, Matt, when I talked to him, and he said, yeah, they shot a lot of the film inside a high school. They actually found a high school that let them come in during classes. And they looked young, these kids. And so they blended in where the school thought that – a lot of the kids thought that they were just students there. And they literally went and shot a lot of the movie around these kids that had no idea they were shooting a movie. A lot of scenes that they're shooting are from you know, a couple doors away or through windows, and they're acting opposite real kids in the school that have no idea they're on camera. And then they later went back and got releases for these kids. And so it kind of does take the found footage to a different level when you start kind of hiding cameras and making real students a part of your movie without them even knowing.
There is a real documentary feel. Like at the beginning, they're going around and they're just asking kids, hey, what do you think about bullies? And the responses that came out from some of the kids were very natural. There is one thing that kind of bugged me about the film, and this is just me being a nut, but might as well bring it up. Matt Johnson has a very discernible Canadian accent, right?
He does.
I'm guessing
Canadian. They are from Toronto, these kids.
Okay. All right. He's a great performer, and he's terrific in it, but when he says oot and a boot – there's part of you saying the whole joke is that Canadians don't use guns, right? I mean, that's what Michael Moore is always pointing out, and all the, you know, whenever you look on Facebook and they talk about American gun use versus Canadian gun use, and you go, oh, these Canadians, they don't shoot each other, they're so nice. So for me, a little bit, we're talking 2%. Kind of downplayed the verisimilitude a little bit because I'm thinking, what Canadian's got a gun that's gonna kill the school? That doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, that's a good point, and it kind of brings me to what I was wanted to talk about next. This is a movie that comes from Canada, from kids in Canada, where this sort of thing doesn't really happen there. So, I mean, do you feel like that could hinder this film being an important conversation starter when it comes
issue? Only for weirdos like me. Listen, if Matt Johnson, and if he should listen to this, I love you, guy. You're a terrific young new filmmaker. If he had just pronounced certain words a little less regionally, I would have never known he was Canadian. I would have never thought about it because it's very blank. They don't show license plates. They don't say where they are. It just looks like any North American school. And unfortunately, the fact of the matter is you go above that borderline into the grand utopia that is Canada, where all guns magically turn into Twinkies and popsicles. That's, there's a little bit of a disconnect there. But I think most people are going to never even pick up on the fact that he's Canadian. Or if they do, they're not going to care.
Do you think it's funny, one of the moments I told him, one of my favorite moments in the movie is when it's really the only time that Matt, who's the kid who begins spiraling out of control, also the director, he goes and he asks his mother whether or not she thinks he's crazy. It's the only moment in the film when he kind of second guesses his plan. And it's a really interesting moment there. And he actually told me that's his real mother who had no idea they were filming. and his mother is actually, I think, a therapist of some kind. And and it turned out to, and she kind of took the question seriously. Of course she would. This is her profession. And it turned out to be this really interesting moment in the film about – which I think what it all boils down to. You know, we spoke about violence and the fact that these kids were big fans of movies and whether or not the violence in movies affects them and all that nonsense. But I think what it all boils down to, this issue, is how much parents talk to their kids and realize that what their kids are doing and stay involved in their kids' lives. And so do you think that this film can help sort of – open that conversation up? Do you think this film can help this issue in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's using it as an educational tool, it can help parents look for warning signs, I guess. I mean, it is fiction, so who knows how much of it is applicable to the real world. But what's good about that scene, and that's one of a number of scenes that are, that don't follow the usual script of what you expect. What's good about that scene is that it feels very real, and the mother doesn't brush him away. She's not like some drunk who's like, I'm watching my TV. Get out of my way. And it's not like that. No. She's a very, she kind of giggles and is like, why do you say that? And they have a very warm moment. And it, much like there are scenes where the friend, and I forget the character and the actor's name.
Owen Williams. Owen is his name.
Fabulous in the movie. Really terrific. It's not like one day he just wakes up and says, I don't want to do this anymore. There's a slow progression. He has a whole character arc where he can't talk to girls, and he likes this one girl since the third grade, and she starts to notice him a little bit. Not that they start going out. They don't go to the prom together, but he ceases to be completely invisible around this girl, and that's kind of all it takes for him to say, okay, I've got this little hobby with my friend. We're making a film. But when he starts going off on a dark fantasies, like, I just kind of ignore it and roll my eyes. So it's not like there's these clear marks. Like, who knows what Owen would have done if this girl hadn't of just said hey to him, in the hallway. Mm-hmm. So it's about, like, the high school is when personalities are formed and everything's sort of, everything is very fluid. And, it's just kind of neat to see where these changes in the road come, and they come from not necessarily big grand moments. They come from small little moments. So had the mother reacted differently in the kitchen, who knows what would have happened.
Exactly. So. You know, I think what the film does hit home is that the kids that may do this, may be prone to doing something like this, are just regular kids, and they're not always the shy, quiet kid who doesn't talk to anyone. I know that Matt told me that a lot of the research they did was on the two kids from Columbine, and they watched a lot of home movies of these kids. And when these kids were shooting the home movies, just hanging out with themselves, they were just funny, real kids that you'd had no idea would be into something like this. And I think that was a lot of their inspiration for the kids in this movie. And yeah, like you said, it's those little moments, and it's about paying attention, I guess.
This is a topic that, I mean, Columbine was already like 12 years ago or so. This is a topic that is so top of mind for parents and for everyone, really. There haven't been too many movies about school shootings. I mean, other than Gus Van Sant's Elephant, which I love and is completely different from a formalist point of view. Elephant is like a painting, you know, a beautiful, yeah, artistic, pointillist film that is nothing like the direct cinema of the Dirties, but very interesting in its own way. Have there been other movies other than those two that I'm just not remembering?
I feel like there have that have touched on it, but I'm not coming to my mind right now. Nothing, at least, that has made an impact on me like this one, in terms of the authenticity of it, in terms of humanizing the characters involved. You know, it's a really good film. I mean, do you know, you mentioned Oscilloscope before. I feel like that they're the kind of company that would pick up a movie like this and take a chance.
Be, you know, in a post-Sandy Hook situation, it's going to be really tough. And when I was watching the film, you know, realizing that it had to have been done before Sandy Hook and they submitted to the festival and whatnot, when you realize where it's going, because the first half you don't know where it's going, when you realize where it's going, I had like a pit in my stomach going, oh my God, like, do I have the energy to watch this now? Like, what, you know, is it right for me to watch this? Because I'm kind of enjoying it. I'm feeling sympathy for these characters. Like, holy smokes. You know,
yeah.
It was almost like, I almost wish the movie wasn't there right now, because I don't have the energy right now. Give me a few more months to deal with this.
Yeah,
so
you feel uncomfortable. And I told Matt straight up last night, too, that my wife was watching with me. And when she had that moment and realized that it was going there, she kind of looked at me like, really? This is what we're watching? Really? And I said, are you saying that because it's a bad movie? Or are you saying that because it's uncomfortable and you don't like the topic? And it's because she doesn't like the topic. And I told her, I was like, look, we can't have a conversation about these things unless we start having a conversation about these things.
Yep.
And I think that's where this movie comes in. And yeah, it's uncomfortable and you may feel awkward going there because, yeah, you empathize with these characters when it starts going there, and you like these characters and you're laughing with these characters and geeking out about movies with these characters. And so when they start going there, you feel uncomfortable because you have this connection to them. And I think that's what makes the movie really special. And so, yeah, I hope someone takes a chance on it. I don't know how long it'll be before someone takes a chance on it, but hopefully they will. And I forgot to ask Matt whether or not they were screening at any other festivals, but I think I'm going to email him before I write that up and to see so people can see where when they can see the film.
But, well, here's the important thing, and I always say this whenever any movie is pushes the envelope of good taste. If it's a good movie, you've earned the right to do it. If you're exploitative and crass and you're hanging your movie on, you know, alleged importance and cultural value that is really BS because your movie is junk, then you deserve scorn. But in this case, they earned it. The movie is really well put together. It may look on the surface like, hey, a bunch of kids with video cameras, but it's not. The characterizations are really good. The writing is strong. And particularly the post-production, the editing, I think is really, really sharp. So, you know, it's a good movie. These are talented guys, and because they've put that into it, they've earned the right to quote unquote go there. You know, if this was a slapdash production that just like, hey, we're about an important topic, we want to, you know, we want Bill O'Reilly to talk about us because we're a movie about school shooting, but really, you know, we don't bring anything to the table, then screw that. Then I'll be the first one to shun it and say, get the hell out of here. You're you're sort of using other people's misery for your value. This movie is an important movie. It's because they're damn Canadians. They're all so nice, you know?
I agree. And I'm curious to see when, you know, more than five people start realizing that this movie exists and that it won a big award at a big film festival. You know, I'm curious to see what that turns into and what that conversation is in the media. His name is Jordan Hoffman. He's a film critic for Film.com and Screen Crush. Just Google him and you'll find all his stuff. Jordan, thanks so much for hanging out and talking about this movie.
Thanks. I think we're in on the ground floor on this. I think we're the only two that have seen this in New York, so it's very exciting.
We are. We're on the ground floor, and of course, this is an exciting movie for us, and we'll let you know when you can see it ASAP. Thanks a lot, Jordan.
You got it, man.